Can you please stop that? Are you deaf? I thought we were friends, you know? But friends tell each other the truth. And they definitely don't lie to each other. You made me think Will was okay. That he was still out there, but he wasn't. He wasn't. Maybe you thought you were helping, but you weren't. You hurt me. Do you understand? What you did sucks. Lucas is right about you.
Hello and welcome back to Stranger Thursdays. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Paulina.
And today we are going to be talking about Chapter 4, which is titled The Body. And it's pretty self-explanatory, unlike all the other chapter titles. We're dealing with the body of Will Byers that they found in the Lake Creek thing.
And boy, do things go south from there.
Yeah. I feel like this episode was, like, very action-filled. Like,
action-packed.
Everyone's character kind of, like, started developing even more and more and more. And we see a lot of new relationships forming, I guess, between everyone, honestly.
Yeah, by this time, it's really getting intense. Like, we're halfway through the show. It's getting crazy.
So just really quick off, to start off, I guess. I don't know why I couldn't phrase that correctly. The first scene, we see Joyce, Winona Ryder, and she's trying to, like, process everything. And honestly, that scene was so good. I don't know why I didn't come to terms with the fact that it was so good the first time I watched it. But that scene was so good because, like, her facial expression, she was, like, so confused. And, like, sad and sorrowful at the same time. And just, like, watching her, like, she's trying to listen to Hop. But then she's, like, still, like, contradicting everything he's saying. And she's like, I just spoke to him half an hour ago. Like, I feel like that scene was really good and really showed how she knows, she believes that Will is still alive.
Yeah, and Hopper's kind of like, he's really trying to understand, like, where she's coming from, especially because of his own loss. And, like, he's probably thinking, oh, this is the way she's, like, coping with it. So he's kind of, like, trying to go along with it, but
he also says, like, oh, when he lost his daughter, he saw her everywhere and heard her everywhere. And she was like, no, that's called grief. I know what grief is. Like, I know where Will is. And that's not his body. He's not dead. He's still out there somewhere. So I don't know. I just felt like it was great acting on Winona Ryder's part. And it really got to me, like, whoa, she was so good portraying this sad mom, I guess.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, the acting is superb.
Yeah, I was gonna say superb. Yo, we thought of the same word. But yeah.
Our vocab is on point.
Yeah. But yeah, and then we go on to another scene where it shows Hop walking out to his car, and we see Jonathan, like, crying while his headphones are in, and Joyce goes and gets, like, an axe thing. And I ask Siri what song was playing, because I definitely knew it wasn't, like, the score of Stranger Things. It was an actual song, and it was Atmosphere by Joy Division. So I thought that was pretty cool, because on the mixtape that Jonathan has for Will, he says Joy Division is really good and it'll change his life and stuff. So they put Joy Division into the episode, which I thought was really awesome. And they put David Bowie and The Clash, so
yeah, this whole,
I feel like they're just playing his mixtape,
right?
Yeah, in the background.
Yeah, like, they need to make a, is there, like, a Spotify playlist that somebody made?
There is. I saw it. I was on a website and they're like, get into 80s music that was played in Stranger Things and stuff, and it had a link to the Spotify, and I actually followed it. I haven't really listened to it much, but it has, like, all the songs, I think. So go follow
That's
it
dope.
On Spotify.
Yeah, gonna look for that. That's, yeah, it's a mixtape.
And then we go on to see Mike and his process of grieving, and he's, like, looking at pictures that they drew, or that Will drew, of, like, the warriors and wizards from Dungeons and Dragons. And honestly, that scene kind of broke me too, because Mike was being so rude to Eleven, and I understand where he's coming from, but I wrote down in my notes, Mike be a bitch to Eleven. Because he was just
Wow.
Can you stop doing that? When she was trying to find what channel Mike was on, or Will was on, and then he just like went off on her. He was like, friends don't do that. That sucked. You really made me think Will was alive. And like, he was just yelling at her.
Whoa.
And she was just trying to help.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, that's his way of grieving. And if you're in his defense, like, you probably felt betrayed and like he was deceived. Because he, like, took her in and...
And she said really, she could help, but she really didn't, even though she really did.
Yeah, like a con man.
And then I wrote down, Lucas was right about you. That's what Mike says. And that, made me so mad. And I have a couple notes about Lucas, but I will talk about Lucas later. Because Lucas gets me mad, too. And I know it's just the character. Like, I'm not gonna hate Caleb in real life. I mean, they're all amazing. They're all amazing actors. They're great kids. But the character Lucas, like, just is so mean in every way.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I never hated Lucas. Like, I always understood where he was coming from. And obviously, it's because they don't know. He doesn't know. He's, like, questioning. I think he's the most, he's the realist. he's real.
Yeah. He doesn't want to believe that she has all these powers and that she can be used for good. He's always seen, like, the bad in everything.
Yeah, which, I mean, we later find out why he's kind of acting that way.
Also, when they finally make contact with Will on the walkie, the first time I watched it, I didn't even know it was Will, because, I mean, to me, the kids all kind of sound the same. The only one that doesn't really sound the same is maybe Dustin. So I didn't really know it was Will, but luckily the subtitles said Will on walkie, or Will on radio. So I got to read the subtitles, and I was like, oh dang, it's Will. So
I kind of knew. I mean, he was, yeah, I kind of knew.
I mean... What else were they, how else were they gonna further the story if they didn't bring Will back? But in my head, I was like, that doesn't even sound like Will. I mean, is it Will or not?
It was Will.
And then we see the main credits, the intro song. And I also noticed this time around, because last episode around, I noticed that Finn and Millie were put together, which I shipped them. And I know in real life, they don't want to be shipped, but... I'm sorry, y'all. So I shipped them, and then this time around, I noticed that Natalie and Charlie's name are put together, and Natalie is Nancy, and Charlie is Jonathan, so I totally shipped them.
Yes!
Because Steve is, like, a dick.
I mean, we've been knowing that since, like, the first episode. They called him, like, an asshole, and we still hadn't seen who exactly he was.
Yeah, because, so. I mean... While we're on the Steve topic, like, literally every single page of notes that I've taken per episode, I've written down a little bullet that says Steve is a dick, or Steve is a douchebag, or something like that. Because he just is. In the first episode, she was trying to study, and he was like, how about every time you get one wrong, you take off a piece of clothing? I was like, she is trying to pass her test. Stop.
Like, boy. Stop. Let her...
And then in this episode, he's just, like, so self-centered, and he doesn't care about Barb's missing, and Nancy's just, like, seriously? Like, who cares? He's like, my dad's gonna kill me, he's a grade-A asshole, and, don't mention any alcohol or beer and stuff. And she's like, my friend is missing, and all you care about is your reputation. And I'm like, tell him.
Yeah, like, we can just make a whole list just in case Nancy ever gets mad or they're in another argument.
Yeah,
and she'll just bring up the list
and
of
last
things
episode,
he did wrong.
He broke the camera. Yo, every episode is just confirming that Steve Harrington is a dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really quick, I wanted to throw out there that we see a Rubik's Cube on Mike's dresser, so 80s reference, because Rubik's Cubes came out in the 80s.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're like really retro, you know.
I've never even been able to solve one.
Yeah, they're hard. I had one and I never... I could get like one side and then that was it.
Nah, I had one and I just never like finished any side.
Also, I took note that someone from state did the autopsy. I really don't understand what that means, but we kind of get a little bit more insight of that later on in the episode. I guess it matters whether someone from state did the autopsy.
Yeah, well...
because later we see that they're lying and they're, like, using a fake body and stuff, but I didn't really understand what it meant.
Spoiler! So... yeah, well, I mean, it's just a way to prevent the county police, aka Hopper, to really examine or even get close to the body. Like, because obviously the people who made it, aka the Hawkins lab, they know that he's finding them out. Like, he's...
So they had to do it outside of, like, his department and his, like, jurisdiction. They had to keep it away from him.
Right. And, yeah, later on we see that he investigates that even further.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Quick note, I wrote down birthmark on arm. That was a freaking amazing scene. An amazing way, to decipher if it was really Will or not. Like, and then it made me wonder, like, do my parents know something special about my body? Like, if they try to get a fake body for me, are they gonna be like, he has a birthmark on his leg? Or, like, are they gonna have some way to distinguish whether it's me or not?
That's a pretty good question. You should ask your parents that. I actually haven't thought about asking my mom that.
I mean, I don't know why they're going to want to find a fake body for me, but you never know.
Like, you're not even that special.
Thanks.
To make a fake body for. Now that we're talking about fake bodies, it's kind of cool to see that they had that type of special effects in the 80s. I mean, obviously it's not that long ago, but even now some, like, fake bodies are, like, what is it called? Like, when they make, like, special effects stuff, doesn't look as authentic, I guess.
Are you talking about the actual production of the show?
No, I'm talking about, like, the actual body.
Like, the fact that they had a fake body that looked like Will's?
Did they have that, like, special effects capacity? I don't know, back then.
I don't know. Like, did they have a sculpting of Will in their lab just sitting around? And you're like, oh, the kid, he looks like this. I don't
know. And in reference, that could be in reference to now, you know, like, Kanye's music video with, like, everybody's body, like, body.
Oh yeah, how he had like lookalikes and stuff.
Famous music video.
Yeah, the Duffers definitely reference.
I mean, that's like way far off, but I'm just saying it reminded me of that. So yeah, I also wrote down about the birthmark because we don't know if the body double, I don't know, had the birthmark. She just asks for it and the guy just, like, lifts up via the sheet.
Yeah, and then she goes running out. Yeah, she doesn't really say, like, that's not my son because it doesn't have a birthmark. I mean, if the government or Hawkins lab was smart enough, they would go into great detail for the body. But then again, the guy was like, they just told me not for anyone to come close.
No. Oh, well, yeah, that too. I was just gonna say that Hopper was triggered by that state police guy to go and cut open the fake body.
I feel like this episode really had a lot of great dialogue and a lot of great emotional scenes. And, like, dialogue that really actually meant something greater than what it possibly meant, as well as, like, very just self-explanatory. Like, I wrote this little note down. Jonathan is sitting next to Hop at the hospital place, the autopsy place, whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, she'll do fine. My mom is tough. And Hop just like responds, yeah, she is. And I felt like that was just like a really great scene just to see like Jonathan being so confident about his mother, even though he's watching her like break down into this state of depression and this awful state of mind. And like she's talking to the lights and she's talking about the walls expanding and she doesn't believe that it's her son's body, but yet he still has like the confidence to say, oh, she's tough, she'll get through this. Even if it's, whether it's real or not, she's gonna definitely get through this.
Right. And he's, I mean, it's understandable as well, because it could be in his mind the way she's kind of treating the situation or like her grief, you know. But come to find out, she's actually right.
But then it also, right after that scene, they go into this big giant fighting scene on the street, and that scene also broke me down and made me feel like, wow.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, he's trying to help her realize that he's gone, even though she knows he's not. And everyone's just like watching and staring around, and he's like, well, we're gonna have the funeral as soon as possible. I'm not gonna let Will's body be in the fridge anymore. I'm gonna do what needs to be done, and you're going crazy, and you're not, you don't have the ability to do it for him. And it's kind of like Jonathan's trying to take this position, like a father position, I guess, since Lonnie isn't there and Joyce is going crazy, kind of. Jonathan feels like he's responsible to get this stuff done, treat his brother's corpse properly, and kind of put it behind them already.
Yeah, which is also a different way of like showing his grief and like really trying to, like you said, get past it, even though it's definitely not gonna be easy.
Yeah.
So like I said, we can like kind of retract a little, go back a little to where the kids go to the school. And but before that, they have to normalize 11.
Yeah, so they said that she looks like freak or something. They're just like, look at her. And honestly, what's wrong with her? The way she looks, you know?
She looks like a boy.
So, well, then they can pretend she's a boy.
That's, by the way, that's not me saying that. That's Lucas.
Oh, that was Lucas? That was a quote from Lucas?
I'm copyright. Pretty sure.
Because, yeah, I also wrote that, like, Justin cares and Lucas doesn't. Well, I just put Lucas is a bitch. And, I mean, because, like, they're in, like, the little circle talking, and she's, like, trying to channel Will. And Dustin is like, oh, yeah, that kind of sounded like Will when he fell off his bike. And Will, or Dustin's like, is she on the right channel? Is it being done properly and stuff? And, like, Dustin is asking, like, legit good questions. He's, like, actually trying to help and trying to find Will. And Lucas is just like, she doesn't know what she's doing. She led us to his house and he wasn't there and stuff. And I'm like, yo, a little positivity, you know? A little faith.
Well, he's also been deceived. Like, it's not just all about Mike here, you know? Like, all the kids have mutual feelings. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. You gotta put yourself in their situation as well. And, I mean, there's no clear evidence to him as of yet that she has communicated with Will. So, but I
guess. I mean, Mike said he heard it, and Dustin said he heard it, so I mean. But yeah, I feel like Dustin's very optimistic, and Lucas is very pessimistic. Which, I mean, I guess opposites attract, so they wanted to have, like, that. Someone who's gonna be really good about the situation and see the positive and everything, and then someone who's gonna just always bring them down and be realistic and see the negativity and what can go wrong. And
yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as balanced, because Lucas is the odd one out that's kind of not trusting of 11, but it's a way to kind of shift the story.
So to continue what you were saying about getting her all dressed up, I put a note that Mike did his makeup, which was super cute. Get yourself a guy like Mike who will do your makeup. And then they had a box of props where they were just trying it on. And I actually saw a tweet where it was like, how did they make this ratchet-ass wig look so flawless on 11? I was like, true. When Dustin tries it on, he, like, is just, like, playing with it and it looks all, like, raggedy and, like, used. And then when 11 puts it on, it's like, perfect. Like, they combed it out.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really funny. And then she comes out, and Mike is like, pretty good, pretty good. And then she looks in the mirror, and she says, pretty. And then she says, good, too. And I thought that scene was really cool, because since I've been talking from episode one, Eleven is constantly mimicking Mike, and we get to see more of that in the pretty good, which is actually, like, one of my favorite lines throughout the whole series.
Yeah, and now that you mention mimicking, I wrote down that it's pretty evident, like, the effect that their language, their sayings or whatever is, you know, she's picking it up very fast, fast learner. Like, when she says mouth breather.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when they're at the school.
Yeah.
And Troy is all being super disrespectful during Will's memoriam, I guess. And she just turns and she's like, mouth breather. And then Mike kind of looks at her like, yep.
Yes.
You got it. Nail on head. You also made a reference before we started talking about how they dress her up. And that could be a reference to E.T., how they dress him up. And I remember seeing a reference like that on Twitter, but I don't know why when I watched it, it didn't click with me. But yeah. And the wig is actually pretty similar. The wig that E.T. wears is a blonde wig, just like Eleven. So, pretty good reference to Steven Spielberg's E.T., which the Duffers were probably trying to capture. And spoiler, even in future episodes, Eleven makes their bikes fly, no?
Yes!
Yeah, so perfect. That's even another reference to E.T. Like,
come on, it's all the elements are there.
So something that actually left me questioning was when the sheriffs were questioning Nancy, they mentioned that Barb's car wasn't parked where they said where she said it was. I can't speak. And it just made me question, like, how, where did it go? Like, when she went back to Steve's house, she saw Barb's car parked where it was, because they parked it like a couple blocks down, because they didn't want it to be in front of the house because of the neighbors or whatever. So she parked it a couple blocks down, and then the sheriffs were like, Barb's wasn't there and neither was her car. And I was like, how's her car not there? Like, did the Demogorgon, like, hotwire that shit and get on and drive it away to the Upside Down or something?
Well, I'm pretty sure when she told her mom about it, because her mom was there when she was getting interrogated, so I'm pretty sure the mom made a call and she explained everything, and of course they're monitoring the calls. I'm just like making up the story, but
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure they monitored it, and they
the government or Hawkins lab went out and moved her car.
Yeah, I mean, it's
whoa, I didn't make that connection, but that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's my theory.
And that's a good theory.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were listening to the phone calls, so if anyone made a phone call mentioning where Barb's car might have been parked, then they could have tapped into that and, bam, got all that information, moved her car without anyone even noticing.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's plausible. And so, can we, like, continue with them at the school, and then because I have a question, like a specific question. What is the point of the AV club radio thing? AV radio club? Like, was it just a club of them playing around with radios?
I mean, it's just them, right?
Yeah,
just
so
the
like
four of them,
like before 11 even. And before they take 11 to, like, use it.
It's just Lucas, Dustin, Mike, and Will. Like, are they the only people in the club?
Yeah, and, like, what was the point of it? Listen to, like, music, but, like, from other countries? I don't understand.
Yeah, they wanted to talk to Australia, I remember.
I guess. Yeah, that was just, like, a question. Like, what was the point of the club? And,
well, if the Duffer Brothers wanted to come on the show, I'm just going to say that every single time until the Duffers finally come on.
I mean,
the
show. If it fits, like, it goes, because they need that type of power for it.
Yeah, yeah, they need that technology.
Yeah, but it's just, come on, Duffer Brothers. I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to do a speed round really quick with some random facts or little things that I noticed. So here we go. Eleven's hair, upon first contact with it, I guess, when I watched it the first time, I thought that was her real hair. So there's that. Also, they say that they're there at the school to grieve, and then Lucas is like, yeah, we're really sad, but he like smiles about it. So that was really funny. Probably one of the better Lucas moments, when he's not complaining or being rude to Eleven. Then the little gag thing where they're quick on their feet making up a story about where Eleven's from, and they're like, Sweden, really cold. Oh, she's like, bad place. And then Dustin's like, Sweden, she hates it there, it's really cold, sub-zero and stuff like that. They have that awkward entrance scene at the assembly, which I feel like is really typical for to show outcast, as if they weren't already outcasts. They had to walk into the assembly all late and make a big banging noise at the door, and he was like, abort, and he wants to turn around, but they don't. So also Nancy and the mom get all mad and have a little fight, because the mom knows that she had sex, and yeah. And then Nancy goes and sees Barb's picture and cries, which I thought was really emotional, because they were that close friends that she really
they were best friends.
Yeah, and so she cries. That was very emotional. But then she pieces all of the puzzle of the pictures, can't speak, together, and she sees the Demogorgon.
I also have, like, really quickly, a question. So when Joyce is, like, cutting through the wall, she's, like, destroying the wall, and, like, she kind of sees Will, like, in that, in the upside down, I guess. Would that be, like, a portal, like, type? Like, what would happen if she would have made it through? Like, would she have made the, like, the portal? Like, I don't know. Like, was it just... I'm, like, I don't know if it was... Now, obviously, it wasn't a figment of her imagination, because...
The boys heard it.
We're hearing it. Yeah, we're hearing it through the radio. So I guess like a portal was forming, but then what, like, I don't know. It's just, but then it disappeared, and it's like, are they timed? Are they not? That's like a reoccurring question that we have. Like, what's up with these portals just popping up?
Yeah, because we don't really know where they pop up and when they're gonna pop up and how you'd be able to get into it. Because if she would have taken the axe and, like, slammed on the wall at that moment when she saw Will, would she have, like, broken the barrier? Would she have been able to get into the upside down? Or is it just there, like, taunting her, saying, hey, here's the upside down, but there's no way you can get into it from this side, because this is the back door and it's locked and you can't get in, so you have to go find where the actual portal opens up
exactly.
To get in, you know.
That's
what,
like,
I mean?
My question, and like, it's reoccurring, you know?
Yeah, Duffer Brothers.
And really quickly, I also want to add that I finally figured out what the monster kind of looks like to me. So, like, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Predator movies.
Yes.
Like, the Predator, like, they have, like, the same mouth, kind of.
Like, the same head.
Gory type of mouth. No, because, like, he doesn't even... It's just a mouth that it has.
The Predator?
No, the Demogorgon.
Oh, but I'm just saying the Predator. They have... Just, yeah, they're similar, the way you were saying.
Yeah, I'm just, but I'm, like, focusing on his, the Predator's mouth area. It's gross.
So there's a reference to Predator.
There you go. Well, I don't think they came out in the 80s. Did they?
Well, I mean, whether it came out in the 80s or not, it could have been, like, the Duffers were inspired by this director, so they wanted to incorporate some sort of flaunt from the director or from a movie that the director had into their...
True. Oh, it actually was, but I think it's the way later. It was 1987. Yeah, so, I mean, it's the element is still there. Oh my god, that's so disgusting. I can't.
I wrote down that their shirts were tucked in, which is just like a fashion statement, I guess. Most of the kids' shirts are tucked in at the school, including Lucas's and Troy's, who is a bully, but apparently tucks in his shirt like a nerd. So, also, I hate the bullies. Like, I hate them so much. And when Mike pushes him, I was like, yes, take a stand, Mike. And then Eleven makes him pee in front of everyone. So, yeah. Hop plays good cop, bad cop at the bar with that random dude, and he's like all nice about it. He's like, let me buy you a drink and stuff, and then he doesn't get what he wants, so he beats him up outside. Also, they turn around when he's beating him up, and there's like a black car, and it actually looks like the same black car that comes and picks Hop up at the end of the series, spoiler. So maybe like whatever that guy was in on, they wanted Hop in on towards the end. They were like, yo, you're this good, you're a badass, you solved the mystery, let's recruit you for our experiment or whatever. So I don't know, I feel like that might be possibly the black car that we see Hop leave in. So maybe. Also, like you said, the Joyce and Will scene, that was very intense. It gave me goosebumps. I feel like every scene towards the end of each episode gives me goosebumps, because it's just so good and it gets intense and everyone's emotions come out. And in this one, it's not just like Joyce and Will, because the boys and Eleven were able to hear Will, what Will was saying to Joyce. So like they kind of were like all in on this big giant scene, even though they were elsewhere. It was very emotional. And then she was like, she told him to run, and she was like, I'll find you, I'm gonna find you as soon as possible, when she breaks down the wall. I thought that was very emotional. Yeah, very great. Again, Winona Ryder does an amazing job. And then, like I said, the quotes in this episode were really good. Jonathan says something like, he'd rather observe people than talk to them, and that if you capture the right moment, it can say the most. And I thought that was really good, because if you like photography, I know you like photography, you like art, and so do I, and it's like, even if you don't like photography, you'll see
it's,
that one picture,
still a
and it's
true
like,
statement. Yeah, it's very valid what he's saying.
Even if you're not
it
a connoisseur
kinda,
of art,
it also kind of adds to like this angsty teen kind of vibe, like, I don't like talking to people, but you know, these pictures say like a million things, like a million words, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I just felt I can really relate to that. I know a lot of people can as well. So it was just, yeah. This episode had a lot of relatable moments and relatable quotes. In the last
relatable
scene,
as fuck.
In the last scene, we see Hop, and he goes back to the autopsy place because the guy at the bar was like, they told me not to let anyone get close and stuff, and he was like, get too close to what? And the guy said the body, so he wants to investigate the body. He goes to the autopsy place, and he tries to make a lie to the security guard, and the guy was like, I don't know what you're talking about, and then he just straight up punches him in the face twice. I was like, dang, 0 to 100 real quick. And then I thought it was gonna be like a really grotesque body slicing scene, because he like cuts it open all like slowly.
Yeah.
And I thought blood was gonna squirt out, or like organs or something, and I was gonna have to stop watching. But it was just cotton, and I was like, what the heck, like, what is this, a stuffed doll?
I mean, obviously.
But yeah, it was a very shocking moment as well, because he like cuts it open and like pulls the cotton out, and he's shocked and the audience is shocked, and it's just like, wow, they were in
it
on this big giant scheme. Also, was the body a girl? Because to me, it kind of looked like a girl.
No, it was Will, but dead.
Speaking of girl, really quick, I just wanted to throw out there, because we talked about this. Why would the bullies bully Will? Like, they bully Mike because he looks like a frog, I guess, because they call him Frog Face. They bully Lucas because he's black, which is hella racist, but they call him Midnight, so they bully him because of his race.
Triggered.
They bully Dustin because of his teeth, but why would they bully Will? And then it hit me, because he
really
was...
Are you really asking...
Because he was talking about how Will's probably in fairyland with all the fairies.
Yeah.
And he's being all happy and gay. And I was like, seriously? That's so mean. That's so messed up.
Yeah, well, this is the 80s.
To be saying things.
Kids.
To say, not just that, but to say things like, even if he really was dead, to be saying things like that just because of his sexuality.
Okay, but it's like, I mean, they're bullies. That's the point. And it's like, it's a way to trigger Mike.
Yeah, and they did trigger Mike because he pushed him. And then at the end, the very last scene is Hopper, and he's cutting the fence to Hawkins' lab because he's gonna break in. So yeah, this was this episode. It was a bit long. I'm gonna try to edit it. So I do want to still do that little quick Stranger
like,
Things
news updates.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. Since we were talking about Will possibly being gay and stuff, I did want to talk about how he brought it up on Instagram. He brought it up about a week ago, so we could have talked about it last episode, but it barely dawned on me right now. He brought it up and basically said that he's old enough to know the difference between gay and straight, and that he knows that there could be a potential character development that's going to show that Will's gay, but it really doesn't matter because that's the character and that's how the Duffers may have wanted to portray him. And even if he isn't, it's all about being, like, original and being yourself, and that's what makes Stranger Things, because all the kids, all the actors, and even their characters are able to be themselves. Dustin's able to embrace his disorder,
yes.
And it's just, like, they're all able to be themselves. So basically, Noah Schnapp, the actor who plays Will, basically said that it doesn't matter, and even if it does turn out that Will is gay, it's not really gonna matter because that's not a main thing that Stranger Things is going for. It's not really focusing on the sexuality of the kid or anything.
I mean, obviously
it's really focusing
not.
On the yes. paranormal aspect of it and the kid that's missing.
And the Demogorgon, that's what the show
yeah.
is about.
Yeah.
And you should not care about someone's sexuality or yeah. their preference.
And I know that we talked about it a couple episodes ago, I brought it up, but we didn't really address the fact that it doesn't matter. Like, the show is not structured on Will being straight or gay. It's structured on the paranormal, the missing, the vanishing of Will Byers. That's what the show is about. So it really doesn't matter, and I really love the way that Noah put it on Instagram and the way that he just kind of, like, addressed it and then quickly brought it back to the show and how the show is the most important thing. It was really good. I honestly love Noah. So, shout out to Noah.
It just shows how intelligent and how amazing, like, the actors are. And it's just, like, yeah, and he's, like, the youngest. So, for him to, like, really come out and decide to say that is...
They all are very intelligent right. and have their own opinion, and it's honestly amazing to see them when they address things so important to our everyday society. They're addressing it like this issue has been an issue for a while, because it has, but they're addressing it in such a way, I don't know, because they're just like kids, but they're still addressing it as adults, and they're still talking about it how it should be talked about in the media. So do you have any news that you wanted to talk about?
I just know that that Millie had like this photo shoot, because I keep seeing her pop up on Instagram.
She always has a photo shoot.
You look beautiful, girl. Yes, queen, work. So, yeah.
Okay, since I was talking about Noah speaking out on Instagram, I know Mike also spoke out on Instagram. Mike Finn also spoke out on Instagram, because I guess the new girl actor was getting a lot of hate because people were like, yo, Mike's supposed to love Millie, or I keep saying the wrong name.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, because they're like,
gosh,
Mike and Eleven, they're the relationship, all that stuff. And I guess it was rumored that the new actor Sadie could be his potential lover, his new love interest. And people were going crazy, and Mike kind of just set them, Finn kind of just set them in their place by basically saying, yo, it's not true, and even if it is, this is very disrespectful. You can't hate on the actor because she's portraying a character that the Duffer brothers are imagining. And even if it is true, like, if you're a true fan of the show, you wouldn't care. You would enjoy the show just as much. So, yeah, that was also very good.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that she was receiving hate, because it's ridiculous that people actually went as far as to go after this girl. Like, come on,
she hasn't
guys.
Even starred on the show, and you're already making assumptions.
Yeah,
accusations.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah, it was really bad. But Finn took care of it in a great way, and everything's
Ooh, and
good
also,
now. I don't think she's gotten any hate lately.
And also, you were able to donate to charity.
Oh, yay. Yeah. It was expensive, but it was worth it. But yeah, guys, I bought a crew neck from Gayton's shop, which proceeds go to Clidocranial Dysplasia Charities. So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to getting it because it's super rad.
Yeah, how long ago did you order?
Well, it says he was going to ship all of them on like November 2nd, so.
Oh, okay.
But I ordered it on the last day. I was contemplating, and then he added like 7 more hours to the time, and then I was like, oh dang, I definitely should buy it now. So I bought it.
It's a cute design.
Yeah, it is. It's really cute. And he said that if you didn't buy it this time around, he's definitely going to have more merch. So if you didn't get to get anything, he's definitely going to put more stuff out. And I highly recommend that you do buy something.
Yeah, definitely. Once I have money.
Well, that's all we have for you today. I know it was a little extra long. I'm going to try to cut out as many awkward silence gaps and information that made no sense or just us rambling on. But thank you for listening to our 4th episode. If you did enjoy, please subscribe and check out previous podcasts and share with your friends. We're trying to connect with Stranger Things fans.
Yes.
Check us out on Instagram. Our name is Stranger Thursdays, and we're going to be working on Twitter. I've said that for the past 3 episodes, but I'm definitely going to try to work on a Twitter. Thank you, and hopefully you tune in next Thursday. Bye.
Bye.